We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
Let me couple the two together. But we're getting into a season where there's a lot going on. There's a lot of money changing hands. There is a lot of events taking place. And I still believe with all of what's taking place and the intent that people have to make people feel special, to make them feel apart, they can still very much feel alone. And I want to make sure that before we step into this season, which is, I went into Starbucks the other day, they were forcing me into Christmas like 3 weeks ago. So before you push me into this season, I want to make sure that we walk into this season with the right state of mind. Amen. If you don't mind, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Let's do verse 18. We'll read a couple verses and then we'll get out of here. I'm glad Tina's not here to hear me sniffle in the microphone. Let's go to verse 15. Can y'all give me 1 second? I might want to change my version. Give me 1 second. But get there anyway. Get there to 15. I'm going to read it either way. Let's do NIV. Come on, preacher, get it together. Let's do NIV. That'll keep us where we want to be. Verse 15. 2 and 15 says this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. Everybody shall work it. And take care of it. I think that in itself preaches. He put him there to work, but take care of it. I think you can be in relationships and you can be working the relationship, but not taking care of it. He put him there to work it and take care of it. Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, this is verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." I was looking for a translation that says that he made a helper that was compatible to him, comparable to him. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called him, each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, everybody shout for Adam. No suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him, to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Everybody shout amen. Our true focus today, my small plate for you today is on verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Somebody shout amen. Amen. I have found that, and I'm sure you experience the same thing, that when you lose a sock, It's a hurtful thing. It hurts. Specifically if they're like creative socks. Like if the sock has a pattern I've got multiple socks inside of this one. We rearranged our room, and I had this vision for like my sock. I call it a sock box. Initially, for years, I just threw all my socks into the box, and I never paired them together. So it took me time to go through them and find the socks that I wanted to wear each day because they weren't paired together. And what I found was that I was losing a lot of socks, so I had all these single socks in my drawer. And I always wondered, thought to myself, what am I going to do with all of these single socks? And I came to the conclusion once we got everything moved around that I had to get rid of all these single socks because they weren't paired up anymore. The socks were no longer in relationship. I hate to make this too deep, but the socks were no longer in relationship, and they were no good to me. Because it had lost relationship, it was no longer good to me. And I could rock the sock with another sock, but it just doesn't look right. It's not fair to the other sock that is paired with a sock that it's not supposed to be with, because you weren't created with that sock. You should be with the sock you were created with. When you look at the text, I'm saying this to make you, I want you to laugh a little bit, but I want you to really take a thought of this. When you look at the text, God looks down at man, this perfect creation, this perfect being. He creates him, he puts everything together, he puts him in the Garden of Eden, which was perfect as well. He was in perfect relationship with God. And he looks down at Adam, and he says something that I thought was so profound. He says, he's not that good. I like him, but by himself, he's not that good. And when you look at that and understand what God was saying, first off, you've got to understand that God was having this conversation with the Trinity. He himself, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they had this conversation, and they looked down at man, and they say, you know what? He's special, but he's not that good. He could be better. So what he does, he says, well, I'm going to create someone for him to be in relationship with. It is not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to create someone for him to be in relationship with. And most times when we hear this scripture, specifically couples, the man oftentimes thinks, and this is not necessary for Sunday morning. I could give this to you in a couples deal. But man oftentimes think, well, that's sex. That's part of it. But that's not all of it. The most important piece that God wanted to address was the spirit of man. Let's think about this for a second. God is a spirit. So the first thing that God is going to pay attention to and address is your spirit. So when he said that it was not good for man to be alone, he wasn't talking about physically. He was talking about spiritually. So he looks at man and he says, well, this is not good. I've got to get him in relationship with someone so that he can unload everything that he has going on in his mind. So I'm going to put these two in a relationship. And I want that relationship to mirror the relationship that we have, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. I want this type of intimacy to be in the relationship that I have together with us. I want man and woman to have that same relationship. So and I want to get to this, is that we're oftentimes in the proximity of each other. We're oftentimes in the same house with each other. That does not mean that we're in relationship with each other. Not the relationship that was defined by God. Because man had everything that he needed, and God looks at him and he says, you know what? He's still alone. I want him to be in relationship with someone so he can experience what we're experiencing together. I can tell you how important this is, because when you go into the New Testament, Jesus struggles with the cross. He struggles with it. He says, listen, not my will, but your will. Is there any other way, God? Dad, is there any other way that we can make this happen? And his dad is like, no. The only issue that Jesus had, it wasn't the sin that he had to bear, but the fact that he was going to be out of relationship with God for the very first time of his life. You almost didn't experience salvation. Because Jesus was so caught up on his relationship with his father. I've never been out of your presence. I've never been out of this relationship. I want to make sure that I continue to experience this intimacy with you. And is there any other way that I can stay in this relationship with you? He's like, no, I got to make sure, because I want man. I want man to be in the same relationship that you and I have. So we're getting ready to get into the holidays. And it's barreling toward us. I told you I went into Starbucks the other day and went in for my coffee. And I was offended. I was. When I walked into Starbucks, I think it was like November the 2nd or the 3rd, and Thanksgiving hadn't come yet. And I walk in, and they're playing all of my Christmas favorites. And they've got the Christmas coffee out. But no, I want to experience this season that I'm in. And the whole idea behind Thanksgiving is that I'm thankful. I have a heart of gratitude for not just those that are in my life, but what God has done. And I've got to be able to see that if I'm not experiencing relationship the way that God desires for us to experience relationship, I am missing it. Because here's the thing. It made it into Scripture that he did this. I'm going to get to this at some point, but people, well, I want to know what's on God's mind, and I want to know what God has for his people. All you have to do to figure that out is read his Bible, because all of his thoughts are in here. What God thinks about relationship is inside of Scripture. As a matter of fact, when he created the foundation of the earth, he created relationship, and he established it. So here's the thing. We're going into the holidays. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. We're getting ready for Christmas. And I believe, here's the thing, I believe with all of the cheer and all of the emotion that's tied to these two holidays, there are people who will go through this holiday still alone. No. We went shopping together and we bought all of these gifts, and I'm hiding your gift from you and you're hiding my gift from me. And we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to do all of the stuff that the holiday calls us to do, but we're going to still do it alone. Because here's the thing. Whether it be a father to a son, whether it be a wife to a husband, whether it be a daughter to a mother, I don't care what it is. When God puts you in a relationship, he desires for your spirit, man, your emotions, your feelings, your heart, all of those things to be addressed within the relationship that you have. And if at any point you feel alone, we're not living up to the relationship that the standard that God has placed in our life. We're not living up to it. We're missing out on everything that he put there. Yes, he wants us to be physical, and he wants us to have fun and go out. He wants all that stuff. But he wants you to get to the heart of it. He wants to get to your heart. Check this out. There is no way that a son should ever feel alone in a home. There is no possible way that I should be married and still feel alone. Because it is the enemy's desire to pervert that. He wants to get the man to the point where he can't express how he feels to his wife, so he keeps all his thoughts to himself. I know you didn't show up for this morning. I'm going a little bit deeper than you want to go. But he will put you in a place where you say and you validate for yourself that I cannot tell her how I feel because she doesn't get it. Let's flip the shoe. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Wives say, listen, I've explained it to him 25 times. I'm not going to tell him again, so I'm not going to express to him how I feel. That is still, in essence, being alone. I have nowhere to go with it. So guess what happens? I become the judge and the jury over how I feel. And I start casting verdicts and decrees. But here's the thing. When you look at the structure of relationship that God put in place, he says, listen, I will have dominion over the earth, and I'm going to have dominion over you. I'm going to put you two in relationship together, and I want y'all to have dominion together, a family. That means that the baby should be having dominion. That means that the mama and daddy should have dominion. That means that all of us should be winning in life. And then he wants us to have dominion and win over whatever we come in contact with. But the only way that situation works out is if we are in relationship. I don't want you to think that a gift fixes all of that. I don't want you to think that a good meal is a way to the man's heart. No, I'm sorry. I want us to understand this. Walking into this season, we're going to talk more about it next week. Not this specifically, but it'll be good. That God has a structure for relationship. And winning in relationship in God's eyes, whether the situations look good or not, the circumstances look good or not, is if we are together. when my wife went into surgery. We don't sweat stuff like this. I mean, between the two of us, we've had, oh God, so many surgeries. And it doesn't even bother us. It doesn't bother us. I said, girl, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You going to pray? Yeah, I'm going to pray. And I hit her with a prayer and we good. We go into surgery. We come out of surgery. We dealing with that thing because we can face anything together. The kids can defeat bullying if we do it together. The kids can understand that they're greater than what their friends say and who's picking on them. That they can overcome all of those things if we're in relationship and that child doesn't feel alone. Because I can tell you this, when a child goes through something, they automatically feel alone because I don't want to tell mommy and daddy. We was talking. Cody's sitting in here. I'm so blessed. So blessed. And I tell everybody this. We have a good relationship. Me and all my children have a pretty decent relationship. And I get about 70% of it. Of what's really happening. And that's pretty good if you get 70%. What blows me away is that I was having a conversation with the both of them, all of them, specifically the two boys, because they're up in age now. And it blows me away the stuff that they will say to me. Like, you did that? There was no way I would tell anybody that, specifically my mom and daddy. I would not have a conversation about it. But listen to me now. The reason why they will do that is because they're not alone. I know I'm not alone. You're not going to cast me out after I tell you what I did. We're not alone. So when God looks at relationship, he looks at it from that view. And if you want to know if you're succeeding in relationship, first off, ask yourself, am I alone? How often is it do I feel alone? It is the enemy's desire to make you feel like you're alone. Nobody gets it. I need a break. I need to get away from this. Nobody is here. If you feel alone, then the enemy is winning at this time. What are they not telling you? What are they scared to share with you? Let's check this out. What are you nervous about telling your spouse? What do you have to like build yourself up to tell your spouse? I don't know how they're going to take this. The worst thing man ever did after the fall. God's walking through the garden. He's like, yo, where you at? Man ran off and hid himself, and he doesn't want to fess up to what he's done. But God is like, listen, man, don't you know we do this every day? Wait a second, I want you to get this. Man fell, but God still showed up. So he was still expecting for man to come out and say, God, you know what, I messed it up. Can you be that for your spouse? Can you be that for your wife? Can you be that for your friend? Can you be that for your child? Because that is what God desires for relationship. That's what he desires for relationship. So before we walk into this holiday season, before we start soaking the black eyed peas, let me fix you if you're not soaking black eyed peas. We need to have a discussion. But before we get into the season, before we get into everything that we're going to eat, and we start to, you know, quickly rush towards Christmas, it is my heart that no one is alone. No one connected to me is alone. That means if it's just church family, you should not feel, when you come into this place, you're in the presence of God, you should not feel alone. You shouldn't let your situation or circumstance cheat you out of that. You should not feel alone because that is the way that God desires for us to experience life together. I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how long you've been on the face of this earth. If I am in relationship with you, you shouldn't feel alone. Ty, he's two, three. He can't articulate it. But at two or three, he shouldn't feel alone. Check me out. Because when he feels alone, he starts to reach. I need to feel closeness, Daddy. Pick me up, Mommy. So all it takes is just one action from you, because Daddy's never going to turn the son down. So if you're not feeling that intimacy, if you're not feeling that closeness, if you're not experiencing God in a relationship in the way that he designed it, all you have to do is reach out your arm and say, Father, I'm feeling alone. So maybe it's you that feels alone. Maybe it's you been fighting that, and you feel like you've got to go at this thing by yourself. I'm telling you, you don't. I'm telling you, you don't have to. Now, just because we know something, that doesn't mean that we do it. Can I say something to the men? Is that okay? We have to grow to a place where we can trust our wife with our mind. I think for so long, just because of the environment that we grew up in, the term man up comes to mind, and, you know, tough it out and handle your business and all these different things. So we've always come to the conclusion that we have to deal with this by ourselves, and regardless of what we feel, we never articulate that. We have to get to a place that we can articulate our mind to our wife, our feelings to our wife. Listen, this was the problem. This is how the problem made me feel, because here's the thing. I think I was talking to my father-in-law about this. I don't know who I was talking to about this, but we all have feelings, my mother-in-law. We all have feelings. All of us have the same. Whether you're a female or a male, you have a feeling. Let's just be clear about that. Women tend to do a better job at articulating that. Men just don't do a good job. So I have the same feeling, but I don't say anything about how I feel. Then she just tells me about how I'm not saying anything about how I feel, which creates further aloneness. Two part. We've got to get better at articulating the love. I've got to get better at articulating how I feel. But at the same time, you've got to do better at handling my feelings. When I give you how I feel, when I expose that to you, don't use that against me. When my sons tell me how they feel, when my daughter tells me how she feels, I cannot use that against them. Because now what I just taught them is that you don't need to come back here with your feelings. That creates aloneness. I don't care what age. I don't care male, female. There's a feeling there. I don't want us just to feel the emotions of the holiday. Let's articulate those things. Next week, we're going to talk about gratefulness and Thanksgiving and all those different things. But we have to articulate those things. I was talking to this gentleman at a marriage deal, and he was saying how much he loves his wife, and he loves her for this, and he loves her for that. And I asked him, and I said, listen, but have you articulated the love? No, I haven't. Articulate that. So here's the thing, right? Before we walk out today, I want you to understand that your homework assignment is to articulate it. Where the two come together and talk. Listen to this. Just because you said it doesn't mean that you articulate it, because the two come together in agreement and they talk. I was listening to this doctor the other about a month or two ago, and he was talking about a tendon connecting to this muscle or whatever, and he said that is the point where the tendon articulates to the muscle. It is where the two meet. Don't just tell me something. Say it to me in a way that I can receive it so that we can work together as a pair. I'm teaching way better than y'all responding. Articulate it in a way that I can receive it. I know you talk to them like that on that job, but you're talking to me. I remember when I first started working at Pepsi, my wife my wife said, I don't sell no Pepsi. Learn to articulate it. Look at your neighbor and say, articulate the love. No, I want everybody to say, articulate the love. You have to be able to do that. But can you see how important relationships are to God? He looks at the cherry of his creation. He says, listen, he not that good. Can I go just one more second further? You are not your best self when you do it alone. You're not your best self when you do it alone. God had put man in the position of success. He had put man in a position of dominion. And he looks down at him. He put him in a place where he could not fail. And he looks at him. He says, you know what? That ain't good. Because he was doing it by himself. So here's the thing. I don't care what it is. If I'm not married, then I've got a sister, I got a brother, I got a church. At the very least, you got a church family where you don't have to go at life by yourself. You don't have to do life by yourself. This is a safe place where you can come and expose how you feel in this place. I want my children to be comfortable coming into my presence and saying, this is what's wrong, and how do we move on from here? I tore it up, I messed it up, so how do we move on? Can he trust you with that? Baby, I spent a little bit too much money at the mall again. How do we move on from it? I've got to be able to trust you. Relationships are so powerful to God, and understand this. He wants us to be in relationship the same way that he was in relationship or is in relationship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. I was thinking the other day, there'll come a point where me and my wife will have to part ways because we'll be going on into heaven. But I don't want that girl to leave me. I don't want to do it without her. Listen to me. There is nothing. She always say, Wanzo, you the dude that be taking sand to the beach. Girl, you some good sand to take to the beach. I don't care where I'm at. I want her to be there. And I'm going a little bit too far now, but I got to go out of town next week. And thank God for technology. We FaceTime each other to sleep. I don't want to be away from the girl. I'll be mad at her when she hang the phone up when I fall asleep. That's the kind of dude I am. What am I saying? There is nothing that you face in life that you need to do alone. Whatever it is, Jesus was freaking out. I don't want to do it, Daddy. Is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. He's like, no. Just so you could experience that relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's how big it was. So let's make sure that as we roll into this season, don't get caught up in, and I want you to experience the season. I want you to have a good time and all that stuff. But I want to make sure that nobody in your house, nobody that's connected to you, is alone. I want the best you. When I open up my heart to you and my mind to you, I automatically put you in a position where you can be the best you. I want the best you. I don't have a problem with telling people how I feel. I don't. It don't bother me. Because I know I get more out of you when you know how I feel about it. Somebody shout, articulate the love. Stand to your feet.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's Word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.